There are apparently a lot of people who are still undecided. They haven't yet made up their minds about which party is going to receive their vote. It sounds as if they still have an important decision to make. But of course there are many important decisions we have to make in the course of any week or month or year. How do we make those decisions? How do we know they are the right ones? What if they are wrong? Sometimes in this whole realm of guidance, we tend to confuse ourselves and become a little distracted. Some of us temperamentally would rather avoid making decisions if that was possible. And yet, when we think about guidance in our lives, God gives us wonderful encouragements. There are, of course, those areas in which God's will for us is absolutely clear. He has set it out for us in His Word. Here is how you and every other believer in this world is to live. Here are the commandments which all of you are to obey. Here is the example of the Saviour to follow. God's will is clear in that respect. But what about those areas of life which are very specific, very, very personal, very particular? What about them? Some may be praying about marriage. But there's no Bible verse to tell you which person to marry. Some may be praying about career. But there's no Bible verse to tell you which career to choose. Some may be wondering and praying, is it time to change job? But there's no verse that will tell you whether that is so or not. How then in these areas can we approach this desire for and need for guidance? Are we left to ourselves, or can we know that in these areas as well the Lord will guide our path? The basic assumption, of course, for the believer is that he will want in everything to do God's will. Think about Paul on the road to Damascus. And there the Lord met him. Paul was converted. He was a changed man. His heart was transformed. He became a believer in Christ. And you remember almost right away what the desire was in Paul's heart. Lord, what will you have me to do? What now? What is the guidance that I need? I want this morning to look at a verse we've looked at before, and yet I feel that it's good to revisit it, because there are always going to be in the congregation at any given time people who are wrestling with the whole area of guidance and seeking to know the Lord's leading. And I don't think that's something that's limited to people of a certain age who are coming to the end of school or coming to the end of college or standing on the threshold of work or anything like that. But it's relevant, surely, for people at all stages. And we want to think this morning in particular of the verse number 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. At this point in the psalm, the Lord speaks to his servant David and gives this assurance. You see, the life of God's redeemed people is not to be haphazard. It isn't to be aimless. We're not to wander through life hoping that we will somehow stumble into a way that's useful or satisfying. We're not to make decisions in a cavalier fashion, being ruled by how we feel at any given time or any moment. When we read through the New Testament, we find many examples of God's plan at work in people's lives, wonderfully at work. In Paul's life, God had a place for him to be and a work for him to do at every point throughout his life. There was a time whenever Paul was himself absolutely convinced it was the Lord's will that he would go to Jerusalem. And he announced this to his friends, and his friends said, "Paul, we don't think you're right. We think you've got it wrong. That couldn't possibly be." But as they went on and as they conversed, and the apostle was unmoved in his determination, eventually his friends came to say, "The Lord's will be done." They were conscious that this was God's will for his servant. Or Peter. Peter directed to the house of Cornelius. At that point, this is where the Lord wanted him to be. Or Philip, out into the desert. At this point, that's where the Lord wanted him to be. God has a plan for his people. And we see it, of course, primarily in the Lord Jesus. As we've just been singing, "Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." And at the end, he was able to say, "I have finished the work you gave me to do." God has a plan for his people, and he is our guide. And it is right and proper that we should be praying for his guidance. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Your paths will teach to me." And I want to notice in this verse, or in this passage, three things which should encourage our faith as we pray for guidance. As you pray for guidance, first of all, have faith in God's compassion. For a long time, we're not sure exactly how long, but for a considerable time, David had been silent. Not absolutely silent. It wasn't that he never spoke. He was the head of the government. He had orders to give. He had instructions to pass on. He had conversations to hold. But he tells us in this psalm that for a time he was silent. He was keeping quiet. And he was keeping quiet about something in particular. He was keeping quiet about his sin. For a time after he had committed sin with Bathsheba and in the manipulation of the death of her husband Uriah, David had kept quiet. But then his silence was broken. And it was broken in the words of confession of sin. We have that in Psalm 51. And I know that 51 is a higher number than 32, but the commentators agree that 51 came before 32 in David's life and experience. 51 is his confession of sin. And when he confessed his sin, he discovered the Lord is compassionate. He pardons us. He saves us from our sin. He cleanses us from the most deeply dyed stain. And so this psalm, after he has broken his silence, begins with an expression of great delight. How blessed is the person whose sins are forgiven. What a wonderful thing to be pardoned. Oh, the blessedness of it. And he concludes the psalm with a joyful shout. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. The bookends of this psalm are joyful because he has experienced God's compassion. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses the words of this psalm in Romans to speak about how guilty sinners are justified before God. How in Christ Jesus the sinner is forgiven and declared to be righteous. This is a song for every man or woman who has come to believe in Jesus and received forgiveness, who is justified. You can sing these joyful words. You can sing them. Are you singing them? They're the song of those who have experienced God's compassion. Now, won't a person who knows that, who is at peace with God, want now to live according to the will of God? Like the apostle, won't the person who has experienced this compassion say, Lord, what will you have me to do? He will want to live according to God's plan, to follow his path, not to wander out of that path, not to fall back into sin, but in every area of life to do the will of God. You can seek that guidance with this assurance, that he to whom you come for guidance is full of compassion. He has great love for you. His purpose is good and wise and loving. His desire is for your best. Are you praying for guidance? Well, remember this as you pray. Have faith in God's compassion. Verse 10 says, the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. What a great thing to know as you pray for guidance that God is compassionate. His love is marvelous. His paths are good and kind. Secondly, then, as you pray for guidance, have faith in God's promise. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. What a great promise. To know that you are in the way, you are on the path which God has for you. That you are doing the very thing which he has chosen for you and where he wants you to be. The guidance may be sought regarding career or marriage or location or finance, but whatever area, the promise stands. We need, of course, as we pray for guidance, to be honest. You're praying for guidance in a particular area, but you must ask yourself if you are now obeying God in those areas where he has already made plain his will for us. Let's think about a young person who's a student and he's praying for guidance about his career, about further study perhaps, about the opening of a door of opportunity, that he will know the Lord's leading. That's good. But mustn't he ask himself, even as he prays for that guidance, am I now going about my work, the work that God has given me to do, my study, am I going about it in the way I know is his will? Am I working with all my might as the Bible tells me to do? Could a student who wasn't taking his studies seriously expect the prayer for guidance to be answered? God promises to guide, but surely that promise is for those who are obeying the guidance they are already receiving. We must be genuine as we pray for guidance and willing to obey when it's given. The guidance that God gives us, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, is never ever at variance with his word. Psalm 23, we've just been singing, he guides us in paths of righteousness. In paths of righteousness. His guidance will always be in accordance with his word. If a Christian young man says, I feel led to marry this girl, but I'm not sure she's a Christian. There's one thing you can say for sure. The young man is mistaken. His feelings are incorrect because the Bible forbids such a union. Guidance is never at variance with the Word of God. And guidance will always be directed to His praise and glory. Our concern as we seek guidance should be for His glory. It shouldn't be a self-centered thing. One writer puts it like this: when we are concerned to glorify God, then the guidance we seek will cease to be a problem and become increasingly a joy and a privilege. And God guides and instructs us and teaches us in the way that we should go, never at variance with His word, but always in a way that makes sense. I will instruct you and teach you. It will make sense. We cannot rely, you see, entirely on feelings. Guidance does not bypass our minds. I will instruct you and teach you. John Murray was, I believe, one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century. And he says something very wise here, which I feel is appropriate. In this area of our feelings and our guidance, he says, you may have a strong, overwhelming conviction about the way you should go and the decision you should make. And you may not at a particular time be able to explain that conviction to yourself or to anyone else. That doesn't necessarily mean you're being vaguely mystical. But he does say, test and wait. Ask yourself why you feel this course is the right one. Make yourself give reasons. God guides us through our minds and understanding. I will instruct you and teach you. That's why it's so important to be familiar with the principles of His word and to come with a spirit of godly submission, ready to do His will. We've been singing, the Lord confides in those who fear Him, who are submissive and willing and obedient. This is a great promise. And this promise will help us as we seek guidance to be patient. That's the very thing, isn't it, we find often is most difficult. Too often we are impatient. We want to know everything immediately. We want to see further than we're being given to see. We want to see beyond what we're told. Scripture says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. He's given you His promise. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. Be patient. Rest quietly. Commit your ways to Him. Trust in Him, the psalmist says, and He will see it through. Often, God leads us one step at a time, and as we take each step in faith, He shows us in His time the next step. How many of you this morning can testify to that very thing? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. It has been said that it is not God's way to give more light on the future than we need for action in the present. He does guide us one step at a time. Are you praying for guidance? Pray in faith. Faith in God's compassion and faith in God's promise. And thirdly, faith in God's presence. I will instruct you and watch over you. With my eye upon you, literally. And isn't that how we sometimes speak? We say to someone who's looking after a young child, keep your eye on him. We mean, keep a careful watch. Don't let anything happen. I will watch over you. His banner over us is love. I will watch over you in sovereign wisdom, knowing the end from the beginning, knowing where He is leading his people. That should bring us great comfort as we come to make our decisions. Maybe that's the assurance you need this morning. You are praying about God's will for you. And there's a decision you will have to make. And in making it, you want to do God's will. And yes, you've got in mind all the principles of his word and you don't want to step out of them. And yes, you're willing to do what he directs you to do. Here is the comfort for you as you step out in faith, making this decision. I will counsel you and watch over you. His eye is on you. He will not let you ruin your soul. In his providence, God is ruling every moment and every event. I am watching over you, providentially caring for you. Step out in faith. Faith in God's compassion, in his promise, and in his presence. Of course, walking by faith doesn't mean necessarily that every difficulty will evaporate. The disciples were living by faith and being obedient and doing God's will as they got into their boat and sailed across the Sea of Galilee. They knew that they were in the place where Christ wanted them to be because he had guided them. But on that journey, it became rather turbulent and difficult and a bit frightening. And maybe they were unsure. Did we understand? Are we in the right place? But they were. And the wonderful thing, of course, is that when the journey was over, they had learned more about their Savior than they knew before. And their faith in him had deepened. As you think about decisions in life, could I ask you this morning if the paramount importance for you is to do God's will? Career, marriage, home, to do God's will. Is that of paramount importance? Is that the thing which is central for you? We see this wonderfully and perfectly in the obedience of our Savior. In everything, he obeyed his heavenly Father. And in this brought glory to God. Keep looking to him and walking with him. And keep seeking to be more conformed to his image. And then you and I will be able, we trust, increasingly to say what he said. To do thy will, I take delight. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Amen. Let us pray.